It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, episode 12, season 6. I know I've said it a lot this season, but it doesn't feel like it's been 6 years. But it has. Louisiana Tech coming off a bye week for the football team. Busy week for Louisiana Tech this week. And the voice of the Bulldogs, Jared, will be – he'll be really giving his name, Freeway Dave, a run for its money this week as he will call Bulldog basketball in at St. Mary's in California, come back to Ruston and call Louisiana Tech – Southern Miss the next day. That's why they call him Freeway Dave.
It's a lot of miles.
Ladies and gents, Jared, a couple of sponsors before we start talking about some Conference USA football here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegechill.com hotline at 888-993-7762, or you can email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Anybody that's been listening to the show this year knows that Jared's probably the biggest Tulane fan in North Louisiana.
I have no problem admitting that I am the biggest Tulane fan in North Louisiana.
And it probably isn't true. There's some Tulane alum up here that's probably loves them some Greenway football. Well, the Greenies dropped one to a head coachless FAU team in Boca Raton.
They did. They dropped that one. You know,
they got walloped 34-17.
Not only that, but they only put up 160 yards of offense. It was not a good game.
And then you look at the other scores from last week, the Thursday night game, North Texas prevails over undefeated in conference play Rice, 28-16. Rice, they looked pretty pedestrian in that game.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that we had talked about was the offense of the Owls. You know, they've got a good defense, but their offense has really been suspect, and they only put up 16 points and against North Texas, that wasn't enough.
And honestly, they outgained North Texas by over 100 yards, 102 yards, and lost the game. Turnovers.
Right, throwing two picks, losing a fumble. It's just hard to overcome mistakes like that. They had a
North Texas was plus two in the turnover margin.
Right, and then of course Braylon Chancellor, who at times is the best player on that team, returns a punt 60-plus yards for a touchdown.
Yep. So that game was puts North Texas really seeming like the best team, even though they lost to Tulane in New Orleans. I think that North Texas is probably the best team in the Western Division.
Ahead of Rice, even.
Yeah, I mean they've proven themselves that they're the best team. And you look at Southern Miss, of course, Louisiana Tech's opponent this week, travels to Marshall, and it was over after the first quarter, 28-0 after one quarter.
Right.
They scored 10. Southern Miss scored 10 in the second quarter to Marshall 7. So you're looking at 35-10 at halftime. It was over.
Oh, it was absolutely over.
So the final, ladies and gentlemen, 61-13. 61-13, the Herd prevails over the Golden Eagles.
Yeah.
We'll have Lanny Mixon from BigGoldNation.com joining us at 6:30 to talk about the game Saturday. Of course, the Southern Miss Rivals.com site. If you're looking to get in some smack talk, head over to BigGoldNation.com and you can have it there, but there's not a whole lot of smack you can talk to a team that hasn't won since 2011.
Yeah, 20 consecutive losses now for the Southern Miss.
And then you look at UTSA, went to Tulsa and dominated that game, 34-15.
24-0 at halftime.
Tech has three more W's on this schedule.
Yeah, they very well could.
Tech can beat Rice, especially if Tech's defense shows up like they have here lately.
Sure. I could attest with that.
Tulsa, you get them at home, you can beat Tulsa.
2-6, 1-3 in the conference, just dropped one to UTSA.
UTSA is playing well there right now.
UTSA is playing well. Senior quarterback Eric Sosa is playing well. And I guess if I'm looking at it today, I would have to say that probably UTSA would be the game that I would be the most concerned with looking at the rest of Tech's schedule.
I agree wholeheartedly, and that's the last one. So you potentially could be bowl eligible heading into the last game of the season.
Yeah.
Unbelievable if you would have said that a couple of weeks ago.
Right, especially considering the start that they had.
And then Middle Tennessee, it struggled mightily with UAB, a game that I really thought that they would roll, especially a week removed from beating East Carolina.
Right. I watched most of the first half of that game, and I was very impressed with freshman running back Jordan Howard. UAB
not Juwan Howard.
Right. No, not the former basketball player.
Anybody remember the McDonald's commercial where it said, Juwan, I want my chicken nuggets with Juwan Howard? Sorry, no, little random tidbit. You're too young.
Anyway,
if anybody was going to remember it, it would be John, and he may. I can't see his face, so he doesn't remember it either. He may have been on a ship somewhere.
Jordan Howard had a great game, and UAB ran the ball the first 26 plays of the game. They did not throw a pass until 3.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. So they were it was all ground.
And scored 21 points running the football.
Yeah, yeah. Middle Tennessee beat them on a late field goal. It wasn't as if...
Middle Tennessee had to score 17 of its 24 in the fourth quarter to come away with a victory.
Yep.
It was 7-0 at halftime, 10-7 after the third. So,
and an 18-yard field goal with 3 seconds left.
And that, you know, that's really Middle Tennessee's MO, and it has been for a really long time. They can't seem to find consistent play during any season. I don't know where you point the finger in that. Of course, all fans always want to point fingers. Who knows where you point the finger there? East Carolina took care of Florida International 34-13. But you know what? It was a decent game. It's 21 to 13 after the third quarter.
I guess it was a decent game.
Now, the game that was not a game, other than Southern Miss Marshall, Texas A&M at UTEP, or UTEP at Texas A&M, 57-7.
9-7 after the first quarter. And after that, it was all Texas A&M.
Jamel Showers did not have a good homecoming to Texas A&M.
No, not at all. 6 touchdowns by Johnny Football.
We got a caller on the collegesteel.com hotline. We got Chris on line one. Chris, how's it going, my friend?
Last time I talked to y'all was after the North Texas loss, and I brought up the discussion about how we lost players and, you know, how we may not be bowl eligible this year and with our chances. And I was revisiting the situation as far as current, like, do you think we could be bowl eligible after, even if we go 7-5?
There's no
seasons where we've been 6-6, 7-5, and we never got a bowl.
With as many bowl tie-ins as Conference USA has, if Tech gets to 6-6, they should go to a bowl.
Well, do you think? I mean, is that more about the Conference USA? Because I know last year at the WAC, I mean, we went 9-3, and I know we split at the end, but the only thing we had to offer was the Independence Bowl.
Correct. The last year, the WAC had one bowl tie-in. I believe that's correct.
Correct. One bowl tie-in.
And Conference USA, 4 or 5. I think it's five.
Yeah.
So they have 5 bowl tie-ins. So 5 teams can be bowl eligible, and you'll get those, and all 5 will get into a bowl game. And then you look at there's going to be some at-large spots. Will Tech get one of those?
I just don't know about our chance. I mean, as far as, you know, when you point out Conference USA, we have a better chance compared to the WAC, so that makes me feel better as far as the confidence. But do you really think we'll be able to steamroll over Mississippi? Because, I mean, I know they haven't won, as you said, was 0-11 or 0-20. It's, you know, they're double digits. But, I mean, I'm thinking back to Lamar and North Texas, like, in a sense, not that we lost the way we lost as far as consistency.
You know, it's kind of eerie how correct Vegas can be in their point spreads, and they have Tech a 15.5 point favorite.
Okay, that'll put me at rest tonight. Well, it's good talking to y'all guys. I just wanted to see what our chances were realistically. But thank y'all.
You bet, Chris. Thanks for calling. You know, he brings up a good point, and we said that Tech should go bowling. Let's look at those standings. That's a good segue, since we were really leaning to that spot anyway. East Carolina 6-2; they're already bowl eligible.
They are the only team from that side of the conference that is bowl eligible, which is kind of crazy. Looking at it now,
we really thought that the Eastern Division was the best division.
Right, I thought that ECU, Marshall, Middle Tennessee, and possibly FAU at the beginning of the season would all be bowl eligible. Marshall and Middle Tennessee, of course, are both sitting at 5 wins and most likely will become bowl eligible before it's over with. But North Texas, Rice, and Tulane all sitting at 6-3, already bowl eligible from the western side.
So let's look at what Marshall will get to 6 wins. They only have one to get. Middle Tennessee has one to get to 6 wins. The remaining schedule for them, FIU at home, should be a W, but FIU really gave UAB all they wanted, and UAB, I mean, if we're going to compare common opponents, that could be a ball game. They go to Southern Miss, so that should be the W. They should get to 6-6. You're going to have lots of bowl eligible teams.
Absolutely. I agree with. One of the ones that I'm looking at that is, I guess, to use a college basketball term, would be on the bubble, would be UTSA. Currently, they're at 4 wins, but they have to play Tulane. They host Tulane, then they have to go to North Texas before closing out the season hosting Louisiana Tech.
I think they lose the next two.
I think they lose the next two also, and they fall just short and only get the 4 wins.
So you look at the they're sitting at 4 wins now. They lose the next two. So yeah, if they beat Tech on the last game, they'll be at 5 wins.
Right.
5-7 on the outside looking in.
But it's close. I mean, I could see UTSA
beating Tulane. They're not going to beat North Texas.
I could see them beating Tulane. I could see them beating Louisiana Tech.
I agree with you. But like we've been saying all year, Tech's defense is going to keep them in every game that's left.
Right.
That being said, they could beat UTSA.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I mean, I have them.
Remember that team that. That's the same team that came into Ruston last year in Tech Wallop. Now, Lord knows this is not the same Louisiana Tech team as there was last year.
Right.
But defensively, Tech's a whole lot better.
Right. And I'm not so sure that UTSA has changed very much. It hasn't.
It's basically the same team.
Right.
One thing that UTSA does, and it's because of their coach, they play with a chip on their shoulder. You can call that playing dirty, call that whatever you want. They play with a chip on their shoulder. They play like the Miami Hurricanes whenever Larry Coker was their coach. That's just his MO. We think Tech will be bowl eligible. That's what we're predicting.
I think so. I think Louisiana Tech will finish out the season bowl eligible, and considering all of the tie-ins that Conference USA has, they should be bowling this offseason, this postseason.
Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we will continue, or we'll actually begin to break down Southern Miss, Louisiana Tech, Saturday inside Joia Stadium, 6 p.m. kickoff. Be a great one. Supposed to be beautiful weather, football weather. Probably, I'd guess, lower 60s at kickoff. Temperatures dropping into the 50s by the end of the game. Perfect weather for some football. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll be back right after this. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
We can always count on Joe Dirt to mix it up with the music. I love this stinking song.
I don't know this song.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it with
you? Oh, gosh. That's one of those things you never admit.
Why? I don't understand.
I don't care how young you are. You should know this song.
I don't. I do not know. I do not know this song.
Oh, goodness.
How about some sponsors?
Let's do it, because I'm speechless right now because you don't know this song.
Bleed Tape Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtapeblue.com.
We're going to throw an audible, not Southern Miss talk. We're going to do recruiting here.
Which I would rather talk about than Southern Miss anyway.
And we'll do Southern Miss 6:30. Of course, Lanny Mixon from BigGoldNation.com joins us. And then at 6:30 and 6:45, we'll continue that talk. At 7 o'clock, Coach Terry Waldrop will join us instead of Bayou Sportsline. We will feel very privileged to talk Tech basketball. Of course, they open the season Friday against St. Mary's. And then 7:15. As usual, predictions, and we'll, this time we'll feature two games, Southern Miss and St. Mary's.
I'm excited about basketball season, I tell you what.
Last night, we'll go ahead and do a little bit of that. Last night, Paul Millsap Vision, presented by Community Trust, made its debut. Wow.
It was remarkable. It really was. It was
that changes the atmosphere in that building by itself. And really, the crowd last night was it wasn't great, but it was a decent crowd. There was some games in the past where that wouldn't have even been a crowd for a regular season game.
To me, being an exhibition game especially, but it looked as good as some of the crowds for the games that were going on my freshman year. I was impressed with the size of the crowd, and I know part of it could have been because of the free admission, and part of it was, you know, obviously because it was going to be back in the TAC and people wanted to see Paul Millsap Vision, but presented by Community Trust Bank. But I thought that it was great. One thing that I immediately noticed was that I wasn't sure where to put my eyes. Like sometimes I'm looking at the court, sometimes I'm looking at the board, I'm looking down at these fantastic new additions, the two scoreboards down on the corners.
The only thing they've got to figure out, and I don't know if you noticed this, they've got to figure out a place to put team fouls on the new scoreboard.
Okay, and now you can see where each individual player...
The five players that are in the game.
Right, right. You can see which five
are in,
but you don't know how many team fouls you have. Okay, that's true. That's not something that I noticed. I was only able to stay for the first half. They really didn't shoot very many free throws.
Now, the second half, the referees really found their whistles in the second half.
Gotcha. Is that
we'll continue some basketball talk at 7 o'clock. You and I are excited about it, so we could go on about basketball for hours. Louisiana Tech added another quarterback to the 2014 class on Sunday in Alex Woodall from Macomb, Mississippi. All you Tech fans from South Louisiana that are listening either on the internet or podcast, drive through Macomb, more than likely, if you're coming from the New Orleans area, every time you come to Ruston. You might have to make a trip through Macomb to see Mr. Woodall play. I believe his season is just about over. I think his senior night was here recently. But Alex is 6'4". Some places say 240. Some places say 230. Let's just surmise it to say he's a big fella.
A big guy. 6'4", even if he is 6'4", 6'4" and 230, still a big guy.
Mississippi State offered him in the summer as a tight end. From what I've been told, it was a tempting offer, of course, for an in-state kid to look at one of the SEC teams in-state. He ultimately did not commit to the Bulldogs of Mississippi State, and Louisiana Tech reached out to him. Of course, Tech already had a commitment from a quarterback, Price Wilson. Tech quarterbacks coach and offensive coordinator Tony Peterson reached out to Woodall. He said sometime during his season, and said, "We would like to reoffer your scholarship offer," because they told him after they took Price Wilson that, "Hey, we're only taking one."
Sure, only taking one quarterback. So,
your scholarship's essentially off the table.
Right.
You can't. It's what we would in the industry what we call uncommittable. Peterson calls him during the season and says, "Look, we're going to take another one, and we still are very interested in you." That was enough for Mr. Woodall.
And I spoke to Price's mother this week, and she assured me that Coach Peterson and Price have a great relationship, and that for the past few weeks, Price has known that they were going to take a second quarterback. Of course, he didn't know which one it would be or who it was or anything like that, but Peterson had, you know, kept in contact with Price and let him know, you know, we are, of course, originally we were only taking one, we're now taking two, and Price is completely on board.
You know, and that's a worry that I had originally. Most fans were like, we need another quarterback, because they look at the depth chart. Let's go ahead and say they see the results on the field. If that's the best, if what Tech fans are seeing on the field is the best Tech has to offer, they need some more quarterbacks.
Right.
And clearly the coaching staff agrees, because they went and found another quarterback in Alex Woodall. I was concerned that you get another one and Price Wilson goes elsewhere, because Price had his choice of where to play his college football. But, of course, most of those schools have filled up at this point as well. But Tech keeping Price Wilson in the loop about them wanting to pick up another quarterback, that's the classy way to handle it. They didn't have to tell him anything. But in order to keep him, they really had to.
Right. And I was impressed with the way that they handled it, especially when I heard that Peterson had been in contact with him, you know, for two or three weeks before Woodall committed. And Price is having a great season.
That probably tells you about the timeline of which Peterson called Woodall. So
right.
Let's say that he called him two or three weeks ago. That's
right.
Probably when he did. To say, look, we're wanting to add another quarterback, and then Woodall pontificated on it. How about that word? And decided that it was best for him to go ahead and commit to the Bulldogs. You know, you watch Woodall's tape, and he's got a big arm, but so does Price Wilson. Woodall has an unconventional delivery,
to say the least.
To say the least. But he is accurate. His deep ball is on the money a lot.
And he's something that I know a lot of the our BleedTechBlue.com subscribers have continued to make mention of as the season has progressed, is that the reason why Ryan Higgins is the better option of the two quarterbacks that are on the roster now with Scotty Young and Ryan Higgins is because Ryan is more mobile. Well, Woodall is certainly mobile.
He's mobile, but I wouldn't call him a burner.
Correct.
But it's hard to call anyone that's 6'3", 240, 230 a burner.
Right. And he's listed as a dual threat quarterback, but I almost even wouldn't call him that.
I would say
that he's a pocket passer with some mobility, because watching his tape.
This year he does have about a 60-yard touchdown run. There are plenty of quarterbacks in high school football that couldn't even outrun any defenses.
Right.
So that shows some of his mobility and speed, that he can outrun a defense and get a 60-yard touchdown run. Hey, wow, that segment's over.
That was quick.
There we are. We talked about Alex Woodall and the quarterback situation. That was actually perfect. Perfect timing. Other side of the break, we'll talk to Lanny Mixon from BigGoldNation.com. Stick with us.
Have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors before we get to our friend Lanny Mixon with BigGoldNation.com.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, the delectable Dowling's Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Lanny, how's it going, my man?
Jonathan, well, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Well, seems like we talk on Facebook just about every day, so long time no speak in person.
Yeah, it's good to hear from you.
Lenny, I look at biggoldnation.com and the lead story, Monken opens up about disappointing start, and you look at all these Louisiana Tech connections on the staff, and it's really kind of eerie with Petey Payro, Monken, coach of Louisiana Tech, John Simon played at Louisiana Tech, and then you read that story.
Yeah, he's looked at Monken and Skip Holtz were GAs for Lou Holtz at Notre Dame together.
Yeah, and you know, Holtz said that in his press conference on Monday, saying that he's known him a little while because he played for this guy that was the coach of Notre Dame. He didn't even mention his dad's name. He kind of made a funny out of it. But you read that story, and Monken is a guy that's very candid typically. And just talk about that press conference about him being candid about the struggles at Southern Miss.
Well, you know, first of all, it's nothing new. Monken coming out and being candid like this is something that those of us who cover Southern Miss on a regular basis, you know, have come to know and come to respect from Todd Monken. You know, Todd Monken is a guy who, you know, if you want his opinion on something, go ahead and ask him. He's not going to get mad. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to dodge the question. You know, you may not like his answer, but he's going to answer you, and he's going to answer you honestly. So there's a lot to be said for that. And you know what you read today, you know, on that press conference at Big Old Nation is not really anything out of the ordinary or out of character for Todd Monken, because he's been like that the entire time he's been in Hattiesburg. You know what? He's got a tough situation in front of him, and you know the team is progressing, you know, slowly through the season. They've been, you know, had a ton of injuries on top of being very, very young. But at the bottom line, you know, the real thing that's going to set Southern Miss or put Southern Miss back on the right track is Todd Monken and his staff. They just got to flat out recruit their way out of this mess.
Yeah, that's really the only way you can is to do it in recruiting. And if you look, if they do it the Louisiana Tech method from the previous staff, will they go the junior college route, especially with all those junior colleges in Mississippi?
Well, I think, you know, anytime that you look at Southern Miss teams that have had a tremendous amount of success over the years, there's always been a few JUCO guys mixed in there that have played key roles. So I don't think there's any doubt that they're gonna take some JUCOs this year. They've already got a couple of guys committed, and honestly, I probably expect them to take somewhere around 8 or 9 total JUCOs this year. Now, I do think that that's gonna be kind of isolated, because when you look back to a year ago, Monken only took one JUCO. But there are some obvious holes that have to be filled. There's some experience gaps. There's some talent gaps that they're going to have to look to that JUCO, those JUCO ranks to take care of.
And Lanny, whenever you look at this situation going on in Hattiesburg, do you immediately point the finger only at Ellis Johnson, or is Fedora to blame at all?
What? You know, there's a lot of blame to go around in that. You look at Southern Miss right now, they're on their third coach in 2 years, third athletic director in 2 years, and third president in 2 years. There's been a lot of instability around the program as a whole during that period of time. And you know what? That doesn't help. You know, that doesn't help Southern Miss. That doesn't help Southern Miss football, athletics, academics, anything. So there's enough blame to go around. What Fedora did was he recruited very well. What we're seeing now is that there are some instances where Fedora did not retain well. He didn't the retention wasn't there on some of his, you know, through some of his class. Now, some of that has to do with every time you bring in a coach, you're going to have a few guys that are just simply not going to buy in, and they're going to ship out. You had that when Fedora left and Ellis Johnson came in. You also had that when Ellis Johnson left and Todd Monken came in. So you've had that scenario back-to-back 2 years. Couple all that together, you kind of find yourself where you are right now. But as far as Ellis Johnson's portion of the blame, don't underestimate it. It takes a special individual doing a special job to go from 12-2, number 16 in the country, to 0-12, and now 0-20.
special individual. You mean that in a very kind way, I know.
You know what? You take that any way you want to, John.
Lanny, and you look at this year, you can't talk about this season Southern Miss football without talking about the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. Could you even begin to rattle off all the injuries?
No, I couldn't. I can tell you this. From the 11 players that were listed as starters, when they ended camp, going into the first game week, 9 of those 11 have missed starts.
How many of those will be available Saturday against Tech?
Six
of the 11.
Maybe.
That right there is hard to win with whenever you lose that many players on a defensive squad. Not to mention all the other struggles.
Mm-hmm.
What's compounded
that, Jonathan, is, you know, you lose an Allen House, your senior middle linebacker.
Who's been there forever.
Who's been there a long time. He's played a lot of productive snaps. He played a big role in that championship team 2 years ago. His backup is a true freshman.
Yep.
There's a big fall off. Now, C.J. Perry is going to be a great player one day. You know, he's a great kid now, and he plays really hard. But you can't expect him to be anywhere near what where Housie was. You take a guy like a Rakeem Nunez, who was, you know, a preseason all-conference type player at defensive tackle. You know, he goes out for the season. You know, the guy that's backed him up primarily has been Dylan Bradley, who was playing high school ball this time last year.
And then you look at offensively, Southern Miss, their biggest point output was 23 points against Florida International, who isn't an awful defense. They really aren't. And the other biggest output was 15 points against Texas State in the opening game. Mm-hmm. It seems like they've been consistently scoring two touchdowns, 14 or 13 points the last 3 weeks.
Right.
What do you expect? Because, of course, that's Louisiana Tech's strength is its defense. What do you expect Saturday?
You know, here's the deal. The level of offensive line play that Southern Miss has gotten this year has been to the point where I honestly cannot evaluate any of the rest of the positions.
Louisiana Tech can attest, can relate to that.
The offensive line play at Southern Miss this year, because of injury, because of, you know, starting multiple true freshmen on the offensive line, they're just not anywhere close to where they need to be competitive right now. You know, if Tech has an offensive line, I mean, it may be the battle of two really bad offensive lines. Sounds like it might be. You know, Southern Miss has had a good deal of success moving the ball between the 20s or moving the ball into the red zone. Where they've struggled so badly is inside the red zone. Statistically, one of the more unsuccessful teams in the country inside the red zone, but also their turnover margin in this 20-game losing streak that Southern Miss is currently on, they've turned the ball over 57 times.
Goodness.
That's almost unimaginable.
Oh, it is. And, you know, you talk about the struggles for Southern Miss, and I'm not going to – Louisiana Tech seems to have shored up its offensive line somewhat. And its woes are very much the red zone offensive woes as well. Louisiana Tech has kicked a ton of field goals. Jared, you can probably remember those numbers. I know you just did an Inside the Numbers feature. So how many field goals has Tech kicked?
Tech leads the country in field goals in the red zone with 11.
So that tells you that Louisiana Tech struggles to score in the red zone as well. Mm-hmm. The bright spot for Louisiana Tech offensively, of course, is Kenneth Dixon, who was an All-American last year, set some NCAA records as a freshman. So that's the bright spot for Louisiana Tech offensively. How has Southern Miss been at stopping the run?
Bad. Bad. Well, I mean, you know, here's the deal. Southern Miss, for the first time of the season this past week, they actually won the time of possession. It's the first time that they were not, you know, just the time of possession was just so far out of sync that they didn't even have a chance. Now, a couple of things happened against Marshall that was a little bit different. For probably the past consecutive four games, Southern Miss has come out of the gate and performed well on both offense and defense. But all four times in the last four games, they have had something happen early in the first quarter that has just deflated the team. You know, against Marshall, the third offensive play they run, wide receiver catches the ball for a first down, gets hit, drops the ball on his own 27-yard line. One play later, Marshall scores. You know, the week before that against North Texas, Southern Miss misses a field goal on their first possession that would have put them up on East Carolina. The week before that against Florida International, they miss a field goal early in the game. So they've had a lot of bad things happen early in the games that has really deflated them. And that's tough for a young team, a team that has not had a lot of success, to overcome. And that's going to be one of the big keys for Southern Miss. Can they get some kind of positive bounce? Can they get something good to happen for them early in the game against Louisiana Tech? If they can do that, and they can have something positive happen early in that game against Tech, I think that they can be really competitive. But if the trend continues with something negative happening early in the game, it's very hard for Southern Miss and their young team to overcome that right now.
You know, and you look at Louisiana Tech, they rank 10th in the conference in rushing offense, and you would say, well, that's not that great. But then you look at how many yards separate 10th from 11th is 60 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And then 10th to 14th, where Southern Miss is almost 190 yards difference. That's almost unheard of that many teams run the ball well in one conference. Between Tech at 10th and Middle Tennessee at number one, there's 60 yards difference. That's it. But then you look at there's 70 yards difference between 10th and 14th.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of teams that can run the football in this conference. And then I also noticed that Southern Miss has struggled to get pressure on the quarterback. They're not one of the leaders in the conference in sacks.
They're not. And a lot of that is coming from, you know, a lot of that's coming from being so young. You know, you've got those young guys against a lot of the teams that Southern Miss has played so far have had very veteran offensive lines. You know, a lot of people don't really give North Texas the credit that they probably deserve. They got
Agreed.
A veteran team with a very good offensive line. Marshall has got that veteran offensive line. East Carolina is the same way. And then, you know, don't even talk about Nebraska, Boise State, and Arkansas. So, you know, they have struggled. But a lot of that has to do with they've kind of had revolving chairs at those defensive ends because of so many injuries.
You look at the Southern Miss has four sacks in conference play. Louisiana Tech has 12.
Mm-hmm.
And Louisiana Tech's best pass rusher is IKN and Polly from Pflugerville, Texas. And then also Vontarius Dorr from West Point, Mississippi is the other defensive end, and he rushes the passer very well. How good is the right tackle for Southern Miss?
Well, he's 18.
There's lots of 18-year-olds on this team, isn't there?
He's a true freshman. And that's what it goes back to, guys. I mean, his name's Cameron Tom.
From Catholic High.
Louisiana kid. He's going to be really good one day. But he's absolutely getting tried by fire right now.
So let's go ahead and I'm going to put your feet to the fire, speaking of the fire. Give me a score prediction Saturday.
Man, you know me. We've done this enough. I don't give score predictions.
I forget that you don't.
what I'm going to tell you is that if Southern Miss can have something good happen early in the game, give the kids something to feel good about, give them a little bit of confidence, they can make a competitive, really good game out of this and have an opportunity to win, you know, in the fourth quarter. But if they don't create a positive, and something negative happens to them early on, you can see the trend of these lopsided scores continue.
But whenever you look at this what do they call it, the rivalry in Dixie between Louisiana mm-hmm. Tech and Southern Miss, it's always a close game. Will it change?
You know,
and that's the question.
It always has been, even when one of the two teams was seemingly far superior to the other. You're exactly right. And, you know, and more times than not, these games have been played in a monsoon. What's the weather report this weekend in Ruston?
Knocking on wood, it's clear.
I wouldn't bet on that holding just out of tradition for this rivalry.
I tend to agree with you, and Vegas says it's a 15.5-point line. So take that for what it's worth. As we always say, we don't condone betting, but it's always a good talking point.
Absolutely.
Landon, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Look forward to talking to you in the future.
Take care, buddy.
Thanks, Lanny. Lanny Mixon, BigGoldNation.com, joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Let's take a break. We're going to have a quick segment coming up where we'll talk a little bit more Southern Miss. Then we'll get to Terry Waltrip at the top of the hour talking Tech basketball.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Good, as John told me, as he held up a sign during Lanny's interview, very candid interview. And I have a feeling that's the way their press conferences have been this week. When I interviewed Todd Monken at Conference USA Media Day, Jared was standing there with me. To say that he was candid is almost an understatement.
At first, I wasn't sure that I was going to like Todd Monken.
He's got an interesting air about him.
Yeah, well, after the interview, I liked him. I mean, he's no Bailiff.
No.
But I liked him.
But Coach Bailiff.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
Coach Bailiff is awesome.
Let's get some sponsors, then we'll talk a little bit more about the Southern Miss game before we get to the top of the hour.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
You know, everything on paper says that this game will be a Louisiana Tech victory.
Southern Miss has given up at least 50 points in their last three contests. They've given up over 55 times this season. They've given up 60 twice this season. Just to go back and look at it, opening week they lost to Texas State 22-15. Texas State is not a good football team. Week two they lost to Nebraska 56-13. Lost to Arkansas 24-3. Lost to Boise State 60-7. Lost to FIU 24-23 at home. Lost to ECU 55-14, lost to North Texas 55-14, and then lost to Marshall last week at Marshall 61-13.
Not shocking, because they're getting taken to the woodshed 9 times out of 10. Their total defense is last in the country, last in a conference. They may be in the country as well. It wouldn't surprise me.
Look,
they're giving up almost 500 yards of offense
right
in every game during conference play.
Right.
Their scoring defense is last, giving up 48.8 points a game in conference play.
In conference play, 44.6 during the season. NCAA, if you go to NCAA.com, you go to the FBS rankings, they list 123 schools. Southern Miss gives up 44.6 points per game, which is ranked 124th. That's how bad it is.
And then you look at Louisiana Tech scoring defense, they're fifth in the conference at 23.5 points a game. That's a big differential. Their scoring offense, Southern Miss is 14th in the league. Even they have the worst offense scoring-wise and the worst defense scoring-wise. Tech is 10th in scoring offense at 22.2 points a game. Southern Miss at 16 points a game.
They're just not very good.
And John said this in the break, and I thought it was a good point. You have to feel for their fan base.
Absolutely.
That's a proud fan base that went to 18 straight bowl games?
18 consecutive bowl games before last year's debacle.
And now they haven't won since 2011 when they went 12-2.
Right.
They went 12-2, then 0-12, and very well
could go 0-12 this season.
Go 0-12 again. It's going to take them 4 years to rebuild this thing unless they can get the best JUCO prospects in the country and they can get a quick jolt start to this program, and then they can backfill it with blue chip high school prospects.
Marshall, I
don't like the signing of. They only signed one JUCO player last year. Now, could have Munkin predicted all these injuries? No.
No, absolutely not.
So that's – and he's realizing that his depth wasn't very good. So that's why he's going to the JUCO ranks. I still don't like it. I just don't like JUCOs. Now, I don't have anything against them as people, but it's just not a good philosophy to sign so many JUCOs. I understand signing five, signing six, and in positions of need, but 10's a bunch. Because you really need to sign another 10 of the exact same positions you just signed of JUCO players.
Right. Something to note when we're talking about JUCO players coming in for Southern Miss. Southern Miss played 11 true freshmen last week against Marshall. So that's a young team.
And a couple of those have been Louisiana Tech targets. Kelsey Douglas, dad played at Tech. He committed to – he started. I think he's got an interception this season. We got a defensive end. His name escapes me right now. But he has started some. He was a Louisiana – these Louisiana Tech and Southern Miss go head-to-head on the recruiting trail time and time again. I mean, you look at Tech's biggest recruit this season, Jalen Ferguson. He had a Southern Miss offer. To get Jalen Ferguson, a number 35 player in Louisiana this season, that's big. 6'5", 230-pound weak side defensive end from St. Francisville. St. Francisville's closer to Hattiesburg than he is Ruston. And honestly, significantly closer. So, Louisiana Tech is going to see Southern Miss on a recruiting trail.
Absolutely. And now being in the same conference, you know, that only is going to increase those, you know, matchups for players, for potential players on the recruiting trail. I think one thing that will help Louisiana Tech as far as recruiting goes is, you know,
they haven't won since 2011.
They haven't won since 2011. They're on their third AD. They're on their third president. On the third coach.
In 2 years.
All in 2 years.
Louisiana Tech's doing a good job of dipping into that area that's really close to Southern Miss. Shane Carpenter and a Walker High in the Baton Rouge area. A 6'7", 275-pound offensive tackle who honestly could be playing for Louisiana Tech soon.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I mean, not his first year.
He'll in the next 2 or 3 years he's going to be starting at tackle somewhere, whether it's left tackle or right tackle.
Sure.
He's got the length that Louisiana Tech's been looking for at tackle, and of course he's in Baton Rouge, which is close to Southern Miss. But that list goes on and on. Not Broderick Jefferson, but Marcus Gaines at St. Paul's and Covington. Southern Miss recruits the North Shore hard. When I was at Fountain Blue, that's where the non-AQ talent from Fountain Blue always went, with Southern Miss. So Tech's doing a good job of recruiting against Southern Miss, and they just need to continue to do so, because this rivalry in Dixie isn't going anywhere.
No, and I personally, I'd like to see Southern Miss, you know, come back, get better again, get some consistency, win some games, and this rivalry continue for years to come and be competitive. I think it helps both programs being competitive.
Let's take the break. On the other side of the break, our friend Coach Terry Waldrop will join us and talk some Tech basketball. We're not done talking football. More football talk. Giving predictions at 7:15. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We'll get to Coach Terry Waldrop on the collegesteel.com hotline here shortly after some sponsors from Jared.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Coach, how's it going, my friend?
What's going on, man? Glad to be on Bleed Tech Blue.
We're glad to have you. You know, you got to watch Tech play UAM, Arkansas Monticello, last week. Just give us your overall thoughts from your perspective as a former college coach.
You know, I saw him play actually last year a couple times on television and then get to see him play live, Jonathan. I thought, you know, I really liked the length and athleticism of their team. You know, it's kind of hard to judge, especially in exhibition games. A lot of times you're playing opponents that are probably a lot more athletic than they are skilled. But, you know, I liked a lot of things they did. We were talking with Mike today, and I guess they played they raised the bar a little bit last night when they played compared to the first week. Is that true?
They played so much better last night that it really didn't even look like the same team, and I think Jared would agree.
They played much better last night against what I thought was a better team. Of course, I was only there for the first half, but correct me if I'm wrong, but it was 52-18.
I don't remember what the halftime score, but it was a lot to
it was
little.
It was very lopsided.
Yeah, I looked at the stats, guys, off the games, just kind of comparing them a little bit. You know, I think they were, +6 in offensive rebounding last night, took about 28 more shots. So, I mean, those are good numbers. And, you know, it looks like to me, and I think Mike was speaking a little bit about this today, you know, that team is built for speed and tempo, defensive pressure, you know, creating a lot of possessions. And, you know, anytime you get 28 more shots to your opponent, you're doing something right.
And let's flip gears and go ahead and get into St. Mary's a little bit. They return 8 Letterman, lost 6, returned 2 starters, lost 3. Newcomers, including redshirt freshmen, 6. 3 freshmen on the roster, 1 sophomore, 4 juniors, 5 seniors. Their starters that outgoing, Matthew Dellavedova, 14.2 points a game. Mitchell Young, 6.7 points a game. 4 rebounds a game. Jordan Page, 6 points a game, 1 rebound a game. And then they return the 2 returning starters, Stephen Holt with 11.6 points a game and Brandon Waldow, 10.2 points a game.
10 points a game and also 6 rebounds a game for Waldow. And then
5.4 from Holt.
Bo Levescu, 6'7", 230-pound senior forward, shot 50% from the field last year, 11 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, and was 45% from beyond the arc.
So what does that tell you, Coach, when you hear that?
You know, you're returning a lot of people, a lot of experience. You know, St. Mary's, from what I know about them, you know, this is going to be kind of a contrast in styles, I think, this game. You know, Tech wanting to get out and pressure and, you know, make the game 94 feet, and St. Mary's is probably playing a little bit more control game. That with the experience they have coming back, and I think they won 17 straight non-conference games at home. So, you know, it's a pretty formidable task going into that arena. But I love the game if you're Louisiana Tech. I mean, right away you're putting your guys in a very tough atmosphere to see where you're at early in the year. I love the courage to go play that game. And, you know, hey, we'll see what happens with it.
And you say that they're contrasting styles. When you have a guy like Waldow, I think is actually how you say it. Waldow is 6'9", 260 from Shingle Springs, California. That's a tough matchup for a Michael Kaiser when you think that they'll probably be going head-to-head.
No, Oh, absolutely. I think you're probably going to see some rotations, some quick doubles, doing some things to throw him off would be just my guess. The other interesting thing, guys, and this is starting to come out now with exhibition games, is the changes in rules this year. You know, there's really no such thing anymore as a hand check. And you know, kids have grown up doing that. So you're seeing, you know, huge numbers of fouls called, games taking a lot longer. So teams that are pressure-oriented are having to make those adjustments. So, you know, I think the advantage Tech has, and Coach White hit on it today a little bit on Bayou Sportsline, they play a lot of people, so that helps. Maybe some of the disadvantages is it's going to snap some of the rhythm of the game, if that makes sense.
And then the other thing they've changed is really there's almost no charges anymore. You have to be completely set. There's no sliding into the charge. If you're not, if you've moved into it, it's a block.
Absolutely. And look, this is going to make, what they're trying to do is the NCAA would rather have a game that's 86-84 as opposed to, you know, 52-50. And it's designed to improve the offenses, you know, and just watching and talking to some coaches and reading some things that people have put out, I'm not sure that that's really what's going to take place. I think you're going to see a lot of free throw shooting contests, and especially with teams of pressure. And, you know, teams of pressure are so oriented toward I'm pulling over here with an ambulance passing. Sorry about that. But, yeah, these teams are so geared toward putting the pressure and running tempo, I think you're going to have some problems with that.
And then you look at a guy like Matt Hodgson, an Aussie, at 6'11", 255. Their size doesn't quit. And really, he's listed at center, and Waldo is listed at forward. So you could have both those guys on the floor at the same time.
You know, and that's true. That's a very it's a hard defensive matchup. By the same token, though, on their defensive end, they have to guard Louisiana Tech's speed and quickness.
And you don't want a guy that's six. You don't want two guys that are 6'9", 260 and 6'11", 255 out there that are honestly probably big and slow.
No, I mean it's a defensive nightmare if you're trying to play those guys. I don't know if St. Mary's is going to play a lot of zone or what. With Tech's ability to shoot the basketball from the three, you know, a zone might be a tough call against them. It should be really interesting to see who can dictate tempo. You know how the game is going to be called and what the flow of the game is going to look like. That's what's going to be, I think it's one of the best mid-major games early in the year. I really do.
You know, Vegas hasn't put a line on the game yet. I don't think any of the lines have opened. But if you were to guess, where do you think that line would be set?
Okay, I'm going to refer to my old NCAA background. I'm not going lines.
You're not going there.
You're not going to get me on that one.
You're not going there. I can't say that I completely blame you. But it's good for entertainment purposes, as we always say here on the show. Do you think Tech has a chance to pull off the upset?
Absolutely. I love the fact that they're going to play the game. I mean, they know it's a tough game. There's no surprise to that. They know how good this team is. But, you know, I love the challenge of your guys early. I think they're playing, this game, and then they've got, three or so BCS schools that they're playing. I mean, they're putting a resume together. And what a great way to start it.
Terry,
I think they have a chance.
Terry, I tend to agree with you that this is a game that Tech has a shot to win. Would you be willing to predict?
You know, I'll tell you this. If I'm St. Mary's, I think it's a dangerous game for them because they could bring in a lot easier people to beat for their opener than Louisiana Tech.
But honestly, for them, they're building a resume as well.
No, absolutely. And you beat a team like Louisiana Tech, which has a reputation, which had a great year last year. I mean, you're bringing what did they win, 27 games last year?
Correct.
Yeah, you're bringing in a team that won 27 games. You know, this isn't an easy game by any stretch. So, you know, you got to applaud those guys for doing the same thing. It's a great mid-major basketball game.
Terry, really appreciate you joining us. You'll be joining us more in the future, I really hope, and we look forward to talking to you some more.
Love to, man. You guys take care. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Terry. All right. Terry Waldrop joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, former college basketball coach, giving us some insight on Tech basketball. He's had a chance to see the Bulldogs play, going to see some more Tech basketball this year. He thinks that Tech has a chance to pull off the upset Friday night, 10:30 tip. in California. I think they've got a chance to win it as well. Jared doesn't think so.
No, that's not totally accurate. Something that I have been paying attention to, especially listening to Terry, St. Mary's doesn't rebound the ball nearly as well as Louisiana Tech does. St. Mary's actually was beat in rebounding last year per game by 2 rebounds a game. Also, St. Mary's doesn't force as many turnovers, and they give up more. St. Mary's was 2 turnovers a game, -2 turnovers per game last season. So they're giving up the ball more than they're causing turnovers. Louisiana Tech defense is built to force turnovers to ensure those extra possessions. And then also, you know, St. Mary's is returning their leading 3-point shooter. In conference play last year, Bo Levesque shot 59% from three.
Can you believe how you really say his last name? I'm not trying to throw you under the bus because I've got the pronunciation key here.
Oh, you do?
Bo Lovick.
That's not right. I don't want to tell the man how to say his last name, but he's not saying his last name right. It's Levesque.
Lovick. Where is Mr. Lovick? Mr. Lovick from?
Lafayette, California. No wonder he doesn't know how to say it.
It's probably Lafayette, California.
But it's Lafayette here.
No, it's Lafayette here.
It's Lafayette somewhere.
It's Lafayette.
I'll tell you what it is
Indiana.
In California. It's Levesque in California, and it's Levesque in Louisiana.
It's 59%. Let's take this break. On the other side of the break, we'll give you our predictions of the...
Want to find out stuff about tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll start talking about our predictions.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport.
Remind me. How many games up am I?
I don't know.
Do you know?
Three? Two or three.
I think it's three.
Two or three. I took FIU. So three.
Yep.
Three.
Man, were you wrong on that one?
So.
You were just trying to make a game up, though.
Right. And the only way I'm going to be able to continue.
You're playing some strategery.
I have no choice at this point.
You probably don't know what movie that comes from.
I do not. Although I do like lots of old movies.
We'll discuss it off the air. Not that it's not an appropriate movie, but this isn't a movie radio show. Tech Southern Miss, line from Vegas, 15.5. Have they released an over-under yet? 51 is the over-under. 52 now. Opened at 51, went to a 52. Tech, that was at the Venetian. Tech opened as a 14-point favorite there. It's up to a 15.5-point favorite. Clearly, the money's on the Bulldogs.
Yeah, well, when you're facing a team coming in that's lost 20 consecutive games, it's no wonder why.
You know, since I do have the lead, I'll go ahead and go first, even though that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
No, generally the winner goes last.
Are you ready?
Of course.
Go.
I'm taking Louisiana Tech.
At this point, you'd be kind of dumb in this game.
Yeah, you have. I mean, unless I was solely going to make the pick to make up a game and Southern Miss. But regardless, no. Louisiana Tech's going to win this game, I believe, by a score of 31-13.
So you say you're going over.
No, that's 44.
That's 44. I'm good at math. So you're going under.
I'm going under.
And that's probably not that bad of an idea. 52 points is a lot of points. And while Southern Miss has given up their share, to put it lightly, 33 points for a team like Tech that has struggled to score in a red zone is a task.
Right.
I like where your head's at with that score, because Southern Miss 13 or 14 points in the last three games.
Exactly. And they've given up over 50 in the last three games, playing offenses that have been more consistent than Louisiana Tech's. But I do think that the line changes with Graffrey at left tackle, with Carter in as a tight end, with Tony Johnson at fullback.
I wouldn't say that North Texas has been real consistent on offense.
It's just I'm being nice.
So let's see. That is their highest point output. They beat Idaho, who, goodness gracious, Idaho, 40-6, opening week. But that's their highest point output by 20 points.
Wow.
How about that? That puts into perspective how bad this Southern Miss defense is. I'm going to say somehow, some way, Louisiana Tech scores over 40. Let's go 42-17.
Wow. 42. Now, the reason why I went with 31 was because I expected the offense to give them some short field, which they haven't done a very good job of capitalizing when they've had.
I think that Vegas, where their head's at, is 42-10.
Yeah, that could be. I went with the under against UTEP, and I was wrong. Although I didn't expect UTEP to score as much as they did, that was the reason why I went with the under. I just feel like if Louisiana Tech is the team having to get the lion's share of the 52,
that's kind of laughable that you use the word lion's share, because that's a joke in recent Louisiana Tech history. We'll leave that off the air as well. But some people out there, I promise, that are Louisiana Tech fans, they just heard you say lion's share, and they're having a good chuckle to themselves right now.
Well, unbeknownst to me. Anyway, anytime Louisiana Tech is going to be the one having to score the majority of the 52 points, I don't think they're getting the 52 points.
It's a fair point. I said I'm going out on a limb on the 42.
Right, you went over.
I'm going over. Because Vegas is so right so much, their mathematicians are something else.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt.
Then let's switch gears to Louisiana Tech, St. Mary's. Once again, John's been on point tonight. John's not making predictions anymore because he's so far out of this game that it doesn't even matter.
Oh, come on now.
Do you want to make a prediction of this game?
The St. Mary's game?
No, it was a good Southern Miss.
34-6, Tech.
He's saying under as well. 34-6, that'd be a heck of a defensive outing.
Yes, it would. Now, I think we should allow John.
But at the same time, I mean, Tech really did shut
FIU completely. They shut the door down on FIU completely, even better than, you know, ECU did, which is another top of the conference defense. I think we should allow John to make basketball picks since we're all starting at 0-0.
I agree.
All right.
John, you're starting since you're so bad at football ones.
I think Tech squeaks one out, 75-72.
What I was getting at earlier is John's been on point tonight with his insight during the breaks. He really has been. He said that this game's all about pace of play. And if St. Mary's can slow it down and it stays slow and the game's in the 50s, St. Mary's wins. If it gets to 70-plus, Tech has a really good shot at winning it. They have a better shot at winning it. Is that what you're getting at, John?
That is correct.
And you know, I tend to agree wholeheartedly with it. Jared, why don't you go ahead and give your pick? And what's so funny about us doing this is how bad we've all been. I don't know if a single score has been even remotely close.
You know, I wish we would have kept up with it at some point during the season so that we could have actually either laughed at how bad our scores were or bragged about how close we were.
The only one that I think that I've been right close to, Johnny, I think you remember this, A&M score, I was really close last year.
You had that within
3 points at least.
Total points.
The Louisiana Tech A&M
yes.
game? Oh, my gosh. I still have that game recorded on my DVR just to go back and watch it from time to time. Because it's the best game I've ever been to.
It's the loudest Tech game ever. I'll say that. What's your prediction? There's still no line on the St. Mary's Louisiana Tech game. I'm going to say that it'll open as a Tech 5-point underdog.
Yeah, I could see that. I could
maybe
very
a
well,
10-point underdog.
I could very well see that. I'm going to say that St. Mary's wins this game. And I say St. Mary's is going to win this game by a score of 65-56.
65-56. I will go